straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, oh no, the big sharks are back. On Second Thought, episode 221, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, and I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Duck, we took a little week off, and man, while we were gone, some big things happened. Before we get to the Longhorns, we're going to be joined later by Kansas City star, sports writer extraordinaire, podcast host, Blair Kirkhoff. We're starting a new feature. Tell our listeners what we're going to do, sir.
Well, you know, football is a year-round sport.
It is.
It never strays from our mind very far. As Jones Ramsey said, two sports that matter, football and spring football. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to do a weekly look at Big 12 football programs. And we're going to look at all 10 of them.
We start from the bottom.
We start from the bottom. Who knows who that might be? Yeah, I think we'll let the listeners in on that secret real quick. But we're going to do this. We're going to do all 10 teams, and we're going to try to, you know, have some sports writers who cover that team on, maybe a coach or two, maybe a radio voice, who knows. But we just kind of want to tap into the people that know that program. And so our Big 12 roundup starts today.
That's big time, and that's going to take us – you know, because there's going to be some weeks where we don't have the podcast because vacations and and stuff happening like that. But that's going to get us partly through the summer and get us closer to kickoff. I love it.
Exactly. And, you know, our Statesman, we do our top 25 look where all the writers and editors vote. And we have our own top 25, and we counted down the top 25, 1 to 25. And, well, that will be in the Statesman starting, well, that's usually around 4th of July week, something like that, isn't it?
It's somewhere around there. We'll be ready to roll. But let's get to the Texas Longhorns, Duck. We're in the spring, basically. Summer's around the corner. It's not football season. It's not basketball season. But the Texas Longhorns are doing work in these other sports.
It's the golden era part two from the decade that was the 2000s when they were on Sports Illustrated and Dallas Dodge was running things and Texas was the Joneses. You know, they're kind of back to that era. Now they just got to fix football and men's basketball.
And, you know, it's weird. I feel like you read my Golden's Nuggets today because that is my top entry.
The
return to yesteryear, possibly. The one thing we got to talk about, though, is, like you said, Chris Del Conte came here to win championships. They're doing okay. Tennis is playing well. Men's golf just advanced. They're tearing it up. Track and field with the sweep of the indoor and outdoor seasons under Edric Floreal, Coach Flo, my girl Tara Davis doing work. We will have her on our podcast before the Olympics. I'm guaranteeing you that.
You keep saying that. Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that.
Well, yeah, we've already talked. I already talked to Herna Woodall. We're going to make that happen before they head to Tokyo, if Tokyo happens. The biggest team sport right now, baseball, and the Texas Longhorns are easily David Pierce's best team he's had since he's come on the 40 acres. I'm not trying to put any pressure on him, Duck, but they smell like Omaha to me.
I don't know about putting pressure on, because there's always pressure at Texas and
baseball. Not from us.
No, but it's inbred in that program. Even Augie said Omaha is mandatory it's expected. If you didn't get to Omaha, there's going to be that disappointment, because that's the standard that was started at Texas with Bib Falk and Cliff Gustafson and continued with Augie Garrido. And I'm with you. I think this is his best team. They got off to that shaky 0-3 start, and they just been, you know, killing it ever since. I mean, they won 2 out of 3 from TCU. I was looking at my notes, said they, against TCU, they had 34 hits in the series. They hit 318 as a team. Their starting pitchers had a 1.80 ERA. I mean, they just tore it up. Now, those first two games were one-run affairs, and they were close. And then Texas, well, they scored 9 in the Sunday game to win that series. So now it all comes down to this weekend. Texas hosts West Virginia starting tomorrow, starting tonight, I mean, Thursday. And TCU, which leads them by a game, they go to Kansas State. So who knows what might happen.
And when you talk about TCU and Texas, I just know they're going to – I just feel like they're going to end up meeting again, not just in the Big 12 tournament. They could meet again in Omaha. They're plenty good enough. I was looking at the numbers, Doug. These teams are nearly identical stat-wise. Entering Thursday's games, they both have 53 home runs. Each team has 53 home runs. Mm-hmm. TCU's hitting .293 as a team. Texas is hitting .280 as a team. TCU's opponents are hitting .242. Texas's opponents are hitting .218. I mean, these teams are tailor-made for one another, and it kind of reminds me of 05 when Texas just could not beat Baylor. They couldn't beat Baylor, and those teams are very evenly matched, and then Texas ends up getting even in Omaha. I could see these teams both meeting again.
Yeah, I could too, and they're both in line to host the regional and the super regional if they advance. And Texas is now risen to number 2 in the nation, according to the D1 baseball poll. It seems like to me TCU's a little better hitting, and Texas a little better pitching, and that's probably the difference. I talked to Jim Schlossnagel, who was on our podcast 2 weeks ago, and he said, well, they had lost 2 of their top players, first baseman Gene Wood and DH Hunter Wolf. They both played that Friday game against Texas, and then they were out with injuries and going to be out a couple of weeks. So
Wolf's hitting .348.
When they get, they're the big time hitter. So, that was just a riveting series. It was just like, well, you're not going to find a better advertisement for college baseball than that series.
I would have loved to have gone to it, but I watched from home. It was just a good theater. When two top 10 teams get together and they play at such a high level, it just reminds you of how fun the College World Series is, because that was Omaha quality, Duck.
Yeah, it really was. Great commentator, Kyle Peterson, great commentator for college baseball. Does such a good job. And like you say, I think we'll feel cheated if we don't see him again, at Omaha. I think it's got a decent chance to happen. I know you mentioned the golf team. The Texas men's golf team just destroyed. Savannah got to get her voice in.
No, that was me barking. I'm barking for the Longhorn Golf. Go ahead.
Savannah's protecting the casa here. So, but they were Texas men's golf were 20 under par for the 3 days in Noblesville, Indiana. The top 5 go. So they go to Greyhawk Country Club in Scottsdale, Arizona next year for the national championship.
Very nice.
So that'll be interesting. But they're just on a run now. It's just like you mentioned track. Both men's and women's tennis teams are in Orlando, fighting for a national championship. So,
Let's not forget friend of the podcast, Vic Schaefer, going Elite Eight this first year.
Absolutely.
And just bringing in great recruits right after that. So I wonder if we're about to revisit it, because you take it for granted when your teams you're covering are great in everything every year. Right. But only until it's over let's cue 2010 in football. Only when it's over do you start to gain a greater appreciation for how well they did. They two Final Fours in 03, men and women, baseball championships in 02 and 05, football championship in 05, football championship runner-up in 09. Those kind of accomplishments don't grow on trees, Duck. And to have that, you got to have the right coaches in place. And you're talking about Rick Barnes, Jody Conrad, Augie Garrido, Mac Brown. Those are Hall. That's a Hall of Fame list. Does CDC have the kind of coaching firepower that can make another make this renaissance real? Because we're talking about football and basketball first and foremost.
Well, you know, Texas has cachet that not every school does. It's got that brand that few can emulate. It's got the resources that obviously stand alone. And I think that's one reason the Pac-12 at least approached CDC about becoming their commissioner. Talked to him this week, and he said, well, maybe approach, but he didn't ever officially interview for the job. He makes, what, $2 million, and he can hire any coach he wants. He can steal Vic Schaefer from Mississippi State. He can steal Chris Beard from right up the road in Lubbock, and you know, Mike White, Edric Flo, Coach Flo, just going down the list. You
know? And he answers to one president and not 12.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you could argue Texas is a much better job than the Pac-12.
Absolutely.
But the difference is both of them have football problems. The Pac-12 hasn't had a CFP team since 2016, hadn't won a national title that wasn't vacated since USC in 03. So the one question through all this I would ask you is the one question mark, football, when every other sport on campus seems to be thriving. Even rowing, I think, is number two in the nation.
Football, I don't know. We don't get to talk to the coach that much, so I don't know, Duck. For people who love this podcast, we got to be transparent. We keep it real on Second Thought, don't we, Duck?
We bring it. Try to bring it.
We've been trying to get Steve Sarkisian on this podcast, and we've been trying, and we'll keep trying. And every time we ask, it's always, you know, there's something. He's got a busy schedule. You know, I know in the middle of May, there's so much football going on, but it hasn't happened. We're going to make it happen, hopefully, because we've had Dave Aranda on this podcast. We've had Matt Wells on this podcast. Hell, we had Les Miles on this podcast. We've had Bob Stoops on this podcast. We've had the Mullet on this podcast.
Lincoln Riley.
We've had Lincoln Riley. So every Big 12 coach, basically, except for Sark, who just got here. But you know what? Chris Beard just got here, and we've had him. So we're waiting on Sark. We're hoping for Sark. We're going to keep trying, but we can't make any promises.
Well, he's only been here since January 4th, so it'd be hard to fit in 15 or 20 minutes. So we're just saying, Sark, come on, man, you're missing out. So we have
Even had Savannah on this podcast. I mean, she's barking. We didn't have to twist her arm to get on here. So
we can get her every week. And before we go, hey, a shout out to Charles Grodin, who passed.
Oh, man.
One of my all-time favorite
actors. Midnight Run.
Midnight Great. Run, The Heartbreak Kid. Have you ever seen The Heartbreak Kid original?
No, but I will because he passed.
You've got to find it. It's Cybill Shepherd.
Love her.
Oh, my God. It was just a classic. It's, you know my friend Larry Carlson and your friend. That's our favorite comedy. So, but a shout out to him. And we were talking about Bryan Cranston in your honor. We ought to incorporate this every week. What are you watching? You know, you've already seen Your Honor, story by Bryan Cranston, plays a judge in New Orleans, gets caught up in nefarious things. But what are you watching right now that our fans and listeners might want to know?
What am I not watching is a better question.
Give us one.
Okay. This Is Us is the best show on television. Man, you talk about it all the time. Wonderful. Our wives love it. We love it. We're old. If you love family, This Is Us has got one season left after this. They just announced.
No, really?
That's it. Just what? One season remaining.
Oh, excuse me.
This Is Us. I watched the full five seasons of Snowfall, which is about the crack epidemic in L.A.
I didn't see that.
It's an 80. It's based in the 80s when crack invaded the neighborhoods in Los Angeles, Compton. It's about a drug dealer and organized crime. Very good. Queen Sugar, about New Orleans, a black family in New Orleans, dealing with Katrina and family strife. What else have I watched?
Did you ever watch One Night in Miami?
Loved it. Wonderful. And my cousin had no idea. And shout out to Pooh Choice, Gary Choice, my cousin, who was a faithful listener of On Second Thought. Had no idea that really happened, that those guys really hung out that night. Sam Cooke, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, and who's the fourth guy?
Had some vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So
that was really good, really good. Oh, you watch Rain on Netflix, Mary Queen of Scots? I've watched that.
Don't do a whole lot of British stuff. Never watch Queen's Gambit. Never watch The Crown.
God. Never watch Queen's Gambit. What's the matter with you?
Or The Crown. Never watched any of that.
Hey, make yourself watch Queen's Gambit.
Because I have an opening. Because here's what I'm waiting for. And these people are starting to go, what are they talking about? We love television. I'm waiting on Yellowstone to come back. I'm waiting on the Ozark to come back. There's many shows that I'm waiting for to come back. And they're coming back. But it's going to be a while before they get back. If you haven't seen the Queen Latifah Equalizer, excellent. It's excellent. Mm. She is really good in that. So those are the shows that I'm watching. And we used to talk about movies, but we haven't gone to the movies in a year and a half.
I'm getting close to venturing out. I want to see Quiet Place 2, but I don't know what else is out there. I may start going this week. I used to. That was my Friday afternoon.
I miss I must miss Movie Pass. I hate that. That Movie Pass went under because I was going to 3 or 4 movies a week. I was sneaking out going to the movies because I could. It was $10 a month. I would have paid $25 a month.
Oh yeah,
for that. And they would still be in business if they charged more.
Well, check Queen's Gambit out. Check it out and watch 1 or 2 episodes. See if you like it. Then let's get on with our guest.
Duck, we are joined today as part of our new Big 12 feature, the Next 10 podcast, including today's. We're doing it up. We're going to feature a Big 12 team. So Kansas City Star sports writer Blair Kirkhoff joins us. He is also the illustrious host of the KC Sports Beat podcast every day on your podcast, wherever you can get a podcast. Blair, what's up?
Great to see you guys, even if it's still on Zoom. Look, congratulations, 221. That's a big number in the podcast world to get 221 of those. So that's really good. You're right. I host the Sports Beat KC podcast here for the Star. It's a daily sports podcast. We taped an episode this morning. I'll do another one this afternoon. And that seems to be my life these days. But I love it.
My good. So you do 2 podcasts a day?
Well, I'm trying to take Friday off. So I'm trying to knock one out so I can get a Friday afternoon off.
So you ever have time to write anymore? Are you just doing podcasts?
You know, it's funny how we try to incorporate writing, both, right? The podcast and the writing. Like today's podcast contains story links to stories that I've written. So there's, you know, it's part pod, parts, you know, part story. It's the brave new world that we're all living in. You know, before we started doing this podcast, I never listened to podcasts. Well, now I listen to podcasts.
There you go. Well, we want to talk about Jayhawk football, such as it is, and they have yet another head coach, Lance Leipold, 56-year-old, came from Buffalo, won 6 national championships at Wisconsin Whitewater, Division III, which is unbelievable in itself. And the guy looks like an insurance salesman. He doesn't look like a coach, does he? What were your first impressions, Blair?
Yeah, you're right. He is very unassuming looking. I think my first impression of him is this was the right type of coach for Kansas. You know, they think about their previous hires. They went star power with Charlie Weiss and Les Miles. They went kind of a young up and comer with Turner Gill and then David Beatty. And none of them worked out. None of them worked out to the tune of no record better than 3-9 since 2009. I think Mark Mangino's last year, we went 5-7.
Right.
So, you know, Gill, Weiss, Beatty, Miles, none of them worked out. And they all, you know, but none of them had the type of background that Leipold has, which is starting, you know, just climbing the ladder, having success at each step, and then being really, really thankful to be at a program, even one as bad as Kansas has been. You know, with some of the coaches, it was like, oh, you know, I'm doing you a favor by being here.
Right.
Not exactly. The way with Leipold.
Exactly. What his background is very impressive. I was reading a little bit about Leipold before, and Cedric, he was thinking about getting into law enforcement, you know, at one time, and he started making his way
in
summer football camps and just kind of got the bug and everything. So he's like, I don't know, methodical. Like you said, he climbed the ladder. He's paid his dues, and he is happy to be there where, like you said, Charlie Weiss, maybe Les Miles, hey, I'm doing you a favor. So right. He is generally excited about being in Lawrence, Kansas, is he not, Blair?
He totally is. And, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to wow you with a press conference with personality, but he may wow you with knowledge and we'll see what happens on the field for KU.
Right.
The proof is in the pudding.
Right.
But look, he was a quarterback at Wisconsin Whitewater, and then he's had experience at major college programs as well. I mean, he's been on Nebraska staff and Wisconsin. He's been on major college staffs, but one of the stats that stood out to me when I heard it was when he was the head coach at Wisconsin Whitewater, and they won the 6 Division III NCAA champions. They did that with 5 different quarterbacks. So it wasn't like one guy was in there winning 3 of them. You know, he did it with 5 right. different guys. And in one of the years, Wisconsin Whitewater led the nation Division III in passing. And in another one of those years, they led the nation in rushing.
Wow.
So he's been able to, you know, adjust with personnel and change it up. And look, that's Division III, and it's a different world where he is now. And look, he is starting at the absolute rock bottom of major college football at Kansas. And he knows that. He knows he's got his work cut out for him. But he was eager to get the job. I mean, I was hearing about him before Les Miles and the athletic director, Jeff Long, were ushered out, that Leipold was interested in it. So it's good for Kansas to find somebody, I think, with his qualifications that really wanted the job.
109-6 with Wisconsin Whitewater, including 30-0 in his last 2 seasons. You know, 37-33 at Buffalo. You cannot overlook that. I mean, that's Turner Gill, I think, did a good job there. But the fact that he's coming in here on a high like that for a program that's been moribund for so many years. Do you think he took it because sooner or later I'm going to have to make that leap? Was his phone ringing? What made Kansas the ideal choice for him?
That's a good question. And the timing, of course, is different too, right? I mean, for this to happen in, the search to happen in April and, Kansas, as I said, you know, they not only fired Les Miles for the, you know, for the stuff that was coming out at LSU, but then they had to, you know, they felt they had Jeff Long needed to go as well for either not knowing or he should have known. That's that sort of thing. So the coaching search is at a very unconventional time, and there was some thought given to look. They elevated an assistant to the interim position, a fellow named Emma Jones, and very much popular assistant coach with the players. And I know I thought, look, they should give some consideration to having him just keep the interim tag throughout the season and then start fresh from after the 2021 year. Let's see what he can do. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe they can win with the interim guy. But Kansas went out and hired a new athletic director, and he made it clear from his from his opening press conference that they were going to go on a national search for a football coach. And what we were hearing was there was more interest in the job by quality candidates than you might think. Now, and this is, look, Kansas wasn't going to pay. They were, I think it was understood they were going to go right in at number 10 when it came to coaching salary, what they were going to pay the new guy, and deservedly so. I mean, if they weren't going to go the, you know, the star power route. And, but even with that, the thought was there were some quality candidates out there that were really interested in Kansas. And Leipold, again, even at that point, Leipold was really interested in the job.
Well, I like the fact that you said he'd been on major college staffs at Nebraska, at Wisconsin. And I think, did he grow up in Nebraska? He's a Midwest guy, isn't he?
He is. Well, I know he went to Wisconsin Whitewater. I don't know where he grew up. I knew I'll tell you what, he was on the staff at the University of Nebraska at Omaha, which is a Division II program. And that program dropped football while he was there. He was really ticked off about it. Trev Alberts, remember the old Nebraska linebacker?
Yeah.
The linebacker was the athletic director who decided to drop football. But so Leipold's on that staff. He really is a Midwest guy. I mean, he is just about his entire career in the middle of the country. So we'll see how that affects his recruiting. Obviously, Texas is so important to the schools in this part of the Big 12 footprint. And he kept five members of the previous staff, and several of those have recruiting ties in Texas, and that is absolutely critical for Kansas football.
Who's going to play quarterback? I've read like five names. Who came out of the spring as the front runner for that position?
Guy who's not on campus yet.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep.
It looks like there are returning players for Kansas. Jalen Daniels was a freshman who got to took a lot of snaps last year. They got a Miles Kendrick, who the most experienced, but I think they're looking at Jason Bean, transfer from North Texas, as the guy that can come in and win the job in the fall. I don't know much about him. I just don't, but I know that position has been a absolute disaster for Kansas through the years, ever since Austin's own Todd Reesing, led them to the Orange Bowl victory and back-to-back bowl games. There has not been a quarterback. I don't say this with, I can't back this up with the record book in front of me, but I don't imagine they've had a quarterback that got an all-conference vote in the last decade.
Wow. You would think quarterbacks are falling off trees. There's so many JUCO, Cam Newton.
Oh, how many camps are there? How can you not get a guy? I think it also has to do with the turnover in coaching and philosophy, and change coordinators all the time. And nobody, they have actually lost quarterbacks to transfer over the years, one to Boise State, one to Virginia Tech, that went on to start at their programs. But couldn't start it or didn't have success at Kansas.
Yeah, you think they'd find somebody like a Kyle Trask at Manville, who never started a game, behind Derek King, and then he becomes a Heisman candidate in Florida. So, but you would think there's a lot identifying quarterbacks, obviously, very important. So Bean is not on campus yet, right?
I don't. He did not participate in spring. Okay. He wasn't in the spring. So, there's a lot of hope for him.
Has he said what his offense will be? Leipold? Does he have a set?
I don't think we know that yet. Kansas this week had a media opportunity. I didn't attend that, but the coordinators were available, and they. Again, this was an in-person thing.
Wait a minute. You said coordinators are available? Did you hear that, Cedric? They're available to talk.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. You're breaking up. I have no idea what you're saying.
We'll get an interpreter in here, maybe to produce in English.
We're going to meet Texas coordinators.
What's a coordinator?
Guy that makes a lot of money and doesn't have to talk to the media. That's what. So that's a little bone that we haven't picked. Cause it's like, you know, they've always been available at Texas from 1900 till now. Not only are they not going to be available in the fall, they're not available in the spring. We haven't even talked to one member of Sarkisian staff. So welcome to Alabama Light 2.0.
It is not a little bone. It's a femur.
Yeah. Well, that's ridiculous because in the NFL, they talk once a week.
Yeah.
You know, they come to the podium once a week, the offense, defense, and special teams coordinators do. And it's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And you said he kept five members of the staff. I don't know. The coordinators, have they been with Leipold? Did he bring them with him?
Yes. So a little bit of mix, right? It's basically half of the Buffalo staff came and half of the Kansas staff.
Okay.
Which I thought was important for continuity. Kansas has actually had a couple of nicely rated recruiting classes under Miles. I mean, by Kansas standards, right?
Right.
And the fear of the new the coaching change regime was they were going to lose a lot of those guys. And by keeping as many of the assistant coaches from the previous staff, they were able to, so far, you know, transfer portal being what it is, but they've been able to, it seems like so far they've been able to keep their guys.
I saw they had 22 three-star recruits. That's impressive for Kansas.
For Kansas, it is. Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, and Puka Williams is gone, right?
Went to Puka's gone. He didn't get drafted. Signed a free agent contract with someone.
It's Bengals,
Cincinnati. Bengals. Okay.
They have some skill position people left: running back, or receiver. Anybody that jumps out at you, Blair?
They have. They're going to be when you talk about their prospects this year. You have to start on defense. They really like what they've got on the defensive line. It's just different. I mean, they have never been able to in the last decade really line up on either side of the line with Big 12 programs, and they feel like at least on the defensive side they can do that now. Look, this was a team that averaged like 16 points a game in the 8 or 9 games it played last year. Remember, they didn't get to play Texas at the end, right? That was one that got postponed. But no, I think that's where the problem is going to end up being for them. You know, it's Kansas, so there'll be a lot of problems. But I think on the offensive side, there's a lot of unknowns for them. They've had some decent wide receivers in the last couple of years, but you know, this was a team that they went to Texas a couple of years ago and put up 48 points, and they had receivers then, but most of that crew has moved on.
Yeah. So what's a realistic goal if you're a Jayhawk fan? And you're waiting until, you know, basketball starts in October. I know Leipold is talking championships. Every coach worth his salt has to do that. But I wonder, can you get back to the Mangino era? Was there anything during Mark's Mangino reign where he won 12 games in an Orange Bowl and had a great quarterback? Anything that you think Kansas can take from the Mangino era and apply now that would work?
That's a good question. I think back to that 07 Kansas team that went 12-1 and beat Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl. And a lot of things happened that year for Kansas. One, they didn't play Texas or Oklahoma, or Texas Tech. They had the other three in that scheduling, and A&M was down, and that was Gundy's first year at Oklahoma State. So they were down. And of course, Nebraska was down. They just caught everybody at a really good time. But look, they took full advantage of it.
Love it.
And they did what they were supposed to do. So that's a little different, right? Now where you're playing a full round robin schedule, I think it's actually more difficult now to work your way up from the bottom.
Yeah.
In the Big 12, think about it. In the last couple of years, you know, Chris Klieman at Kansas State and Brown, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Matt Wells, you've got these new coaches and they're all having trouble kind of busting through, right? Making progress. And how about, you know, Kansas State is 2-0 against Oklahoma the last 2 years, but under 500 overall in that mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to make it difficult for Kansas. But if you're if, think Kansas football fans will be happy when they see the team being more better organized, not getting destroyed on special teams. I think they'll pay closer attention to that than they have over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of building, getting the program physically built to handle the week in, week out Big 12 schedule.
Right.
And unluckily for Kansas this year, their non-conference is there's one FCS, but then they play like at Duke and at Coastal Carolina. So they don't have a couple to, you know, it's not a good schedule to build momentum early.
Yeah, those are really good. Coastal Carolina and Duke are a pretty good team. They got South Dakota that they opened with. So, yeah, no easy path there. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting, too. And I agree with you. It is harder now with the full round robin and so much pressure to get in the CFP. Transfer portal, you know, I know they got a receiver. What's his name? From Texas Tech, Kevin Terry. I don't remember him that much, but if you're coming from Lubbock, you got to be good, right?
Yeah. I mean, historically, it says it should work. I think the big news for Kansas is they haven't lost people to the transfer portal. Where there was a thought that could happen in a big way with the transition in staff. So it's not going to be one of those new coaching regimes where you only have like, you know, 68 scholarship players like happens. It's some of the more downtrodden programs with a new coach. So I think that'll work out for them, but it is, you guys have been in this league forever. It's going to be a massive uphill battle for Kansas. And I think at a program like Kansas, you think, you know, when could they, you know, for a realistic goal is bowl eligibility. I think they're 3 years away from something like that, from being able to get to six wins. You can't, if they can get one or two in his first year and then maybe two, three, or four the second with a Big 12 win or two that year, then you can maybe adjust the schedule and get things to a point where you can think about a bowl in a third year.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Blair, just a couple of years ago, we were joking and laughing with the Mad Hatter at Jerry World back when we could actually see coaches and talk with him and his daughter about his new challenge. He was so happy to get back in the game, and all of a sudden it all comes apart. How is that gonna affect his legacy? Because we've all been around Les Miles from his days at Oklahoma State, LSU. Does he just go away as a pariah in college football after the way this ended for him?
You're right. I remember that day at Big 12 Media Days.
So fun. So fun.
My job that day was to kind of just follow him around for the day, going in, you know, in and out of the interviews. And because he was Les Miles, everybody wanted to talk to him. It was the rare, you know, popular Kansas figure that people wanted to talk to at a football media day. And you're right. His daughter escorting him around everywhere. He was great. He was
wonderful. We were laughing, and he was just so glad to be back. You could tell.
Yeah, seemed to be. And so different than the Les Miles that had been introduced at the news conference, where there were these terrible, awkward pauses.
Yes.
When he was asked a question, you're thinking, wait, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. I thought he did better at Media Day handling questions there, but – but then, look. Then the reporting in Baton Rouge got produced stories that were like, oh no, we got to hear about. We're going to hear this. This is happening. You know, this happened then, and it grew to the point where Kansas football fans, you know, even though they're disinterested as they are in a program that's been losing for as long as it is. It was an intolerable situation. You couldn't have that person at the head of your football program. And I thought they did the right thing and bounced him. And then a day later, you know, the athletic director follows him out the door because that whole hiring was orchestrated in advance. I mean, hell, ESPN had its cameras rolling on Les Miles, you know, while he was during the interview, before the interview process, you know.
Exactly.
In terms of a story like that being a distraction or, you know, setting the program back, all you can say is there's no place to go. I mean, you can't set the Kansas program back very far. You know?
Just don't embarrass us further than Saturday afternoons for 3 hours, right? So, yeah. And they got this new guy, Travis Goff, their new AD. What is he, 16 years old? He is the youngest-looking AD in the league. Yeah. He's so boyish. And
I thought it was Jared Goff when I saw him.
did a great job at the press conference. Kansas native. He is young, right. A young guy. He was the number two guy at Northwestern when and has said previously that the going to Kansas where he went to school was a dream job for him. And look, you have to work with football, but you get to work with basketball, right? And and some other things. So look, he's proven popular, and he got a lot of good grades on the football search and the way the whole football hiring came off. So he's right. It's a bit of a honeymoon for him right now.
For sure. I was curious if LiPo was in Buffalo when Khalil Mack was there. I don't know if they overlapped or not, but even if he wasn't, I would bring him to Lawrence in August or June and talk to the team.
So, heck yeah, you would.
Yeah, you're doing right. Before we let you go, and this has been very illuminating, we've really enjoyed catching up with you. Name, image, and likeness is a big deal circulating around college sports right now. There's a bill that may be approved by the Texas legislature already. I think they're five, maybe six states. Where does Kansas, Missouri, how have they approached this name, image, and likeness? And are we going to see bills out of those two states?
Well, Missouri has passed it, and that came out of the legislature this year. And it is due to go in effect on August 28th. So I found myself talking to Missouri basketball coach Konzo Martin and football coach Eli Drinkwitz this week, and the athletic director Jim Sterk, they're all preparing for it. They've had their athletes meet with representatives of this company that helps the players develop their brand, and these coaches are really interesting, very in tune to it, and I credit Missouri's legislature for passing the bill. Kansas did not pass it. There's a Kansas legislator who's holding it up, trying to tie it to a transgender athlete issue in Kansas. So that's the holdup in Kansas. But look, it's going to be everywhere soon. Right. It's just going to be in about six SEC states before any place else. I mean, exactly. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Missouri, they've all passed it. And
well, those kids are already getting paid, Blair.
Hey, they're not going to get paid as much as these kids are going to get paid now, though.
That's true.
I was talking to a guy who's a former Nebraska linebacker who basically co-founded a company that helps athletes and now student athletes. They help guide them through the process. And he was telling me that Spencer Rattler's value in this world is about $600,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
So, he said top-notch quarterback, Howell at North Carolina, the top-notch quarterbacks can make well into six figures in name, image, and likeness. Wow. And it's going to be available to every athlete, to male and female, to Olympic sports and revenue-generating sports. Everybody's going to get their opportunity. And so one of the issues we talked about with the coaches is, I totally agree that it needs to be there.
Yeah.
But is there going to be a problem if the star basketball player, the quarterback, has a six-figure deal and the other teammates don't have something like that? Mm-hmm. Could that be a potential locker room issue?
Hey, he's paying for steak. He's paying for steak, so that'll be okay.
On the plus side, and I thought this was interesting, the coaches said, if nothing else, it's going to force 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds to understand how important their social media brand is beyond college. Because now that money's at stake, you're not going to do anything to embarrass yourself. You're not going to put anything out there that – could, you know, that could jeopardize your earnings potential.
Right.
And he thinks that this is the coaches think this will be a good growing process for their athletes.
And they're going to be able to be paid for their autographs, correct?
Autographs.
Right.
Camps. Wow. They can be paid for running camps.
Right.
Autographs at the car dealership. Autograph sessions.
Jersey sales.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. That is all coming. And states better get going because it doesn't look like there's going to be national legislation on this year.
I don't know why. I mean, what else does the federal government have to do? I mean, they got nothing else to do. But I think it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of these coaches, you know, they're already pulling their hair out over the transfer portal. Like, oh my God, it's re-recruiting every 20 minutes.
Yep. Whatever.
The backup quarterback is leaving, but yeah, not that we feel sorry for him.
World problems.
But I wonder if so much as it's like Booster X is going to, you know, Blair Kirkhoff's this great five-star quarterback. And hey, I'll give you $1 million for your autograph, Blair. You know, I wonder if I don't think they really bemoan them working for Pluckers. Hey, I love Pluckers chicken wings. Go down there and they give them 5,000, but I think they worry about the excess.
They do. And there are some, there's some circuit breakers in here that will not allow that to happen, to have the, you know, the Rhett Bomar car dealership deal, you know,
Big Red, baby, Big Red.
Yeah. Yeah. And we haven't touched on Kansas basketball. So I don't know if they're out of the woods yet. Last question though, do you expect them to get slapped with severe sanctions, the basketball program at Kansas, Blair?
They expect to get slapped with sanctions. They just do. They think something's coming down the pike. We think it's going to be end of summer or sometime in the fall, the extent of which we don't know. But that hasn't stopped them from just cleaning up in the transfer portal. They just announced, it was on social media yesterday, that Remy Martin, who's been Arizona State's top player for the last
few years,
transferring to Kansas. It's a whole new ball game in college basketball. And I love Chris Beard being at Texas. I loved him at Texas Tech. But I just think this Kansas-Texas-Baylor thing is going to be so much fun here in the next few years.
It's gonna be, so you expect Kansas to be put on probation, maybe not eligible for the
post? I think it's possible. Yep. They may have to sit out at least 1 year.
Yeah.
But it's not going to stop him from giving Bill Self a lifetime contract. More dollars for the perfect hair. There you go.
He's theirs, right? You protect your own, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey, Blair, man, it's been fun catching up. Good seeing your face, man. I miss all the fun.
It really is.
Friends in the press boxes. It really is. So you're looking well, and I know you got about 16 more podcasts to do today. So we're going to let you go, but thanks for sharing some wisdom with us, friend.
Hey, it's great talking to you guys, too.
Appreciate it, man. Take care, Blair. Bye-bye.
That will do it for episode 221 of On Second Thought. Major thanks to our buddy Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star for joining us. We'll be back next week for more Big 12 preview and more shenanigans on our little podcast. For the Duck Kirk Bowls, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.